go ahead and finish up. We'll get those put away and go ahead and try to get into this here tonight. Like I said, if you need to, we can you can finish them up later. If you absolutely need to, you can bring them back on Wednesday. But if you can get it finished up, we'll collect them all at the end of service, guys. Those of you that handed out the papers, you guys can do the collections at the end of service. So I'll leave it up to you to remember because I might forget. All right. Here we are again on Wednesday night. Let's go ahead, have a quick word of prayer, and then we'll get into the lesson here for tonight. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you again for being our God. Lord, you're mighty and you're holy, and we're nothing but sinful creatures. And Lord, we do need your help and your guidance, and the Bible gives us an awful good guideline on how to conduct our lives and things we got to watch for in our lives. I do pray that you'd just help me, Father, as we go through this once again, and as we hit this topic, Father, that may be a blessing to folks here in the congregation. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, last time I taught a lesson or preached, I did a lesson on the topic of bitterness. And I had so many things that there was no way. I was rushing, and I didn't get a quarter covered of what I wanted to get covered. So I'm going to try to jump into it again, and we're going to do a real quick review for those of you that may not have been here before. And then I'll try to get on to the end of things as I had them planned out. If you would, open your Bibles to Genesis 27, verse 34, real quick. Genesis 27, 34. And I'm not going to go through the whole story because you know the story of Jacob and Esau and how that Jacob wound up stealing Esau's birthright and the whole hunting trips for a deer and the venison and the goat and the whole nine yards. But in Genesis 27, 34, when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry and said unto his father, "Bless me, even me also, O my father." And he said, "Thy brother came with subtlety," down to verse 35, "and hath taken away thy blessing." And I'd like to say that what I'm talking about here tonight is the topic of bitterness. And I went into a little introduction about it last time. Basically, it's something that for many, many years I didn't feel like I really had to deal with or struggle with. And it seems like everything you say that about, the Lord, gets you on. And I come to realize in my own frailty, and yes, I do have to worry about it on a daily basis. And one of the things that that we talked about the last time is just simply this. Bitterness is real. Now, I know that seems kind of simple and kind of fundamental, but bitterness is real. We went over this before, but we like to mislabel it. We like to mislabel bitterness as a whole lot of different things. We'll call it separation. We'll call it conviction. We'll call it, righteous indignation. We'll call it just a personality conflict. We'll call it a whole lot of different things. But the bottom line is if we really get in there and examine what's going on in our heart, is it boils down to nothing more than bitterness. And the first thing that we have to realize about bitterness is that it is real. And we have a tendency, because we know bitterness is a bad thing, to kind of try to skirt around it somehow. Still keep the heart of the matter in there, but mislabel it or do something else with it. We talked about that. The other thing that we talked about quite in depth is this, is you may find that you have a very good reason. You may have a very good reason to be bitter. I mean, you take the story with Jacob and Esau, and you know what? Jacob was kind of an underhanded, sneaky little twit, wasn't he? I mean, Esau got the shaft, right? Esau got the shaft. And Esau, just in human terms, Esau had justification for being angry with his brother because of what Esau had done to him. I mean, he lied to his father the whole nine yards. And you may find that in your heart you think that you've got a very good reason to be bitter at somebody as well. And you know what? You may have. You may have a very legitimate reason why you should be angry or bitter at somebody. That still doesn't make it right. It still doesn't make it right. And that's why we go around and try to mislabel it and call it something else. But But Esau had a good reason to be bitter. Now sometimes you don't. Sometimes your bitterness is just because, you know, you're the one being the twit. And, you know, you've got some things that you've got to overcome in your own life that you haven't quite got conquered yet. We've all been there. We've all faced that. And we've all failed at that. But a lot of times, you'll have a very good reason to be bitter. All right. So another couple things that we talked about is, how do you know if bitterness is kind of starting to grab you? Well, one of the things that we talked about is the words, right? What I said last time is bitterness has symptoms. The words that you use are going to be a great indication. All this is review, but in Psalm 64:3, it says, "Who wet their tongues like a sword and bend their bows to shoot their arrows, even bitter words." In 64:6, it says, "They search out iniquities." They don't just stumble across them. They search them out. They look for iniquities. They look for things that are wrong. They accomplish a diligent search. Both the inward thought of every one of them and the heart is deep. The words that you use a lot of times will be a very good indication as to whether you're bitter or not. You talk to one person differently than you talk to somebody else, maybe even about the same subject. But the words that you use are a good indication. Watch your speech. Somebody comes up and tries to talk to you and you all of a sudden have this kind of a snarly attitude towards that person, there's something going on there. You better figure out what it is. All right, so your words. Another symptom is anger. Pretty evident. Another symptom is anger. We talked about that a little bit. And in Proverbs it says, "The heart knoweth his own bitterness." A lot of times if you've got this symptom going on, you're angry at somebody and you just haven't gotten over it, you haven't forgiven them, you know what's going on. You know what's going on in your heart. You just have chosen not to deal with it. Another thing that often is a good symptom, resentment. And again, these are all things that we covered in the last time, so I'm not trying to go real in depth, just trying to remind you what they are. Symptoms of bitterness, resentment. You look at people and there are certain things that you resent about them. I mean, there are things that just bother you, get under your skin about that person. And anytime you think about that person or anytime something comes up dealing with that person's life, those things automatically pop up. Seems like you can never get past them. You resent the fact that they're whatever, taller, skinnier, fatter, more hair, less hair. You name it. Could be just about anything. It could be just about anything. But a lot of times it's in there and you just hold on to it. You hold on to it. Symptoms of bitterness. How do your words are around that person? Anger, right? Resentment, unforgiveness. Do you like the black marker versus the green one that I was trying to use last time? Unforgiveness. Another symptom of bitterness is just simple unforgiveness. We all know that. We've all had to deal with that in our lives throughout our lives, growing up and dealing with people. Unforgiveness. Sometimes it's hard to forgive people. Because sometimes you're dealing with an Esau and a Jacob, and Jacob really did do something wrong, right? And we can certainly harbor a lot of unforgiveness if we think we've got a just cause. The other thing that I put down on here is prejudiced. And no, I don't mean racial type prejudice. I just mean that you have predetermined how you're going to interact with that person from the beginning. It doesn't matter, you know, it doesn't matter what kind of an idea they came up with, what kind of counsel or wisdom that they happen to, you know, to be bringing into the situation. You've already determined in your mind that you don't like the way that person operates and you're not going to listen to a thing that they say. It's really easy to get that way with some people if we're not careful. So we've gone through several symptoms of what bitterness is. And then, that's kind of about all that I got through last time, so we're going to jump into this. And then, we want to look at the reasons for bitterness. The reasons for bitterness. Because this is what causes it in the very beginning. Take a look at Exodus 1:13 real quick. Exodus 1:13. And while you're turning there, I'll write this down. Exodus 1:13, the children of Israel run across, obviously, the taskmasters of Egypt. And in Exodus 1:13, the Bible says, "And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor. And they made them, they made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar and in brick and in all manner of service in the field. All their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor." You take a look over in the book of Ruth, and we won't turn there tonight, but you take a look over in the book of Ruth in the first chapter. She comes back and she says, "Call me not Naomi, but call me Mara." Mara means bitter, "for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me." I tell you one of the things you got to watch out for, that's a reason for you to fall into the sin of bitterness, and that is just the hard life. I mean, things don't go the way you want. Job situations don't go the way you want. You know, marriages don't go the way you want. Kids don't go the way you want. The car never works the way you want. I don't know what it is about the cars, but I got a van that's running on 7 cylinders, and it's still running on 7 cylinders. It's got 8. It was built with 8 originally, but... But, you know, life is what it is. But I tell you what, one of the things that'll cause you to fall into bitterness, guys, is just having to deal with life. Because life is hard. Life is hard. The closing doesn't go right, right? I mean, you name it. There can be a million different things that go on, but a hard life will, if you're not careful, lead you to be a very bitter, embittered person. It'll lead you to be a very bitter person. Another thing, and some of these we talked about last time, but another thing that will lead you down that that'll lead you down that trail of bitterness is disappointment. Disappointment. If you recall the story of Hannah in 1 Samuel 1, Hannah's at the temple, and she's crying, and in verse 10 it says, "And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore." Why? Because Hannah wanted children. Hannah wanted children and couldn't have children. There's a lot of disappointing things in life. There's a lot of things in life that you have to face that become very severe disappointments. And you know what? If they last long enough, or if they affect you deeply enough, you run a real great risk of becoming very embittered over that. Disappointments are going to happen in life. Like I said, Hannah had to face that, and all she wanted was a kid. Now, I used to joke about them. I can't joke about them too much anymore because my age is creeping up, as we talked about a few sessions ago, and I'm getting closer. But I've seen a bunch of old men that I thought were very old geezer, bitter, just, you know, "Rawr, what do you think you're doing over there?" And you know what it is? That's a life of somebody who's been bitter for many, many years. And you see some of those old ladies, and Stephanie every now and then tells us stories about them from the nursing home. And you know what? You know what? Though they're losing their mind and they cannot remember what happened yesterday, their personality, their countenance, their manner of speech is so ingrained in bitterness that they're a bitter old lady sitting in a nursing home. Disappointment, hard life will lead to bitterness. And you better be careful about that. Another thing that will lead to bitterness is a lot of the battles that you face. And again, I'm trying to hurry, but a lot of these battles that you face, you know, Christians are real good about fighting. But you remember the story back in 2 Samuel 2 about Abner and Joab. They meet. You know, they got this little valley in between them, and they send out some men to kind of have this impromptu wrestling match, which sounds really cool, except the battle gets a little too heated, and things get carried away. And Azahel gets a little, a little froggy, and he starts running after Abner, and Abner winds up killing him. Joab then becomes very bitter because a battle, that should have been nothing more than just a contest, you know, and a way to make a kind of a decision, right? Who's king of the mountain? Turned into a lot more than what it should have been. Joab winds up being very bitter, and he winds up killing Abner. He winds up killing Abner a little later on, murdering him because that bitterness consumed him so much that he could not stand it. Battles. Another thing that is a reason. A reason for bitterness is discouragement. Discouragement. Bitterness will grow out of discouragement. Therefore, in Job, right? Job says, therefore I will not refrain my mouth. I will speak in the anguish of my spirit. I will complain in the bitterness of my soul. Job kind of had this, this opinion that he had been treated somewhat unfairly. And he had been. Nobody ever said life was fair. God treated him justly because he was God's to do with as God chose to do with him. But a lot of times we look at things like that and we get very discouraged when things don't go our way. You ever been there, down in the dumps, discouraged, not knowing how things are going? And I tell you what, it's really easy to become bitter when you get discouraged. Especially if you've been discouraged about something for a long period of time. It's real easy to become bitter. You had Mordecai when Mordecai finally heard the decree from Haman and the king that all the Jews were basically going to be killed. Mordecai goes out and he cries in bitterness and sackcloth and ashes. He's very discouraged about the turn of events in his country and what's going to happen to his people. Discouragement. You got to watch discouragement because the devil will love to get you in that area, discourage you in your walk with the Lord, discourage you in what you're trying to do for the Lord, discourage you in how you're trying to even just keep yourself above water in your Christian life, and it can be very discouraging. And if you're not careful. You'll become very embittered because of that. So we're just talking about reasons for bitterness, right? Where does it start? How does bitterness creep up on us? What's the cause of bitterness? Another reason is sin. It's just plain sin. A lot of times, just sorrow over sin. You take Peter in Matthew 26:75. Peter, denies the Lord three times, and he goes out and he starts crying bitterly. Now Peter got over it in relatively short order. But I've met a bunch of people who haven't gotten over their failures and their sins in life. And the fact that they transgressed, the fact that they failed, the fact that they did not live up to their own expectations or somebody else's expectations of what they should be, basically ruined them. They couldn't deal with the failure. They couldn't deal with the failure. Because they sin, they look at themselves and they tend to be extremely hard on themselves and they will not let it go. They can't get forgiveness from themselves. Lord's forgiven them, right? Their husband, their wife's forgiven them. Their children, their parents have forgiven them. All their friends have forgiven them. All the folks in the church have forgiven them, but they will not forgive themselves. Failure in your Christian life and falling into sin can be a reason why you wind up getting bitter. And you can wind up getting bitter and becoming that old hag in the nursing home because you didn't handle failure in your stinking flesh the right way. And the devil loves it when you do that. The devil loves it when you do that because he can destroy you, knock you out of the race, or immobilize you. But sin... couple of other things here real quick. Fear. Envy. And no matter how many times I do this, time just goes by entirely too fast. Sin, fear, envy, injury, or loss. Reasons for discouragement. Sin will get you. Fear. Fear will get you. You wind up being afraid of man or of things not going right. Or I've seen people in this very church be afraid of doing something for the Lord and it turn around and they wind up getting very bitter and very angry at a bunch of other people in the church and leave and have nothing good to say about us at all because they were afraid to do what the Lord wanted them to do. Fear can get you. Envy. Envy will lead to bitterness very quickly. You're really happy, aren't you guys, really? Everybody here that is looking for a job and really struggling with a job? Renee talked about a new job tonight. Amen. What a blessing. You know what? If we're not careful, we can envy that. Gee, Renee, I wish I had your job. You know, I don't mean to use you as an example, but it can be anything. Envy will jump in there and get you in a heartbeat. Other things that can be the reason for bitterness is injury or loss. You've lost something that you loved. Maybe a child, maybe a husband, maybe a wife, maybe a job. Maybe you lost the other 7 cylinders in your van. It can be anything. But I tell you what, when you lose something that's important to you, you know what? That affects you. And if you're not careful and you dwell on that too much, and you start putting too much stock in what it was that you lost, and you start forgetting about what it is you still have, and the God that's still directing you, and the God that's still leading your life, you can become very embittered. You can become very embittered. So those are just some reasons. Those are just some reasons on some reasons why people fall into the sin of bitterness. And you know what? They're all things that happen to every single one of us. Man, bitterness is just standing around the corner waiting to get us. So what happens? What happens when life and disappointment and discouragement and your words start getting a little curt, and you know you've got a good reason to be mad at so and so in your family, or brother and sister so and so in the church, or your kids or your parents, and those things start welling up in you, and next thing you know you just can't get over them, you just struggle with them, you know, week after week, month after month, year after year. Sometimes I know some, and I've watched a lot of the teens grow up. I know some teens that 10, 15 years later are still struggling with bitterness over things that happened back when they were, 13, 14 years old. 10, 12 years old. 8, 9 years old. And 10, 15 years later, it's still not resolved. For adults, it's even worse. Some of you guys have been holding on to things for 20, 30, 40 years. Right? So what happens? What happens? I'll tell you what happens. What happens when you're bitter? You start developing poor speech. You start talking bad about things on a pretty regular basis. Or the way you talk changes. Or the way you get on the computer and type. I think I talked to the teens about this in class. You get on your little email and you start typing things, and you're using words that you should not be using because you're angry at somebody. A little bit of bitterness gets in there. What's the result of bitterness? I tell you what, your speech. Your speech will change. In Romans 3:14 says, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Notice how the two went together. I thought that was kind of interesting. Cursing and bitterness. You know what I always try to say when I hit my thumb with a hammer? This takes a lot of deep thought, guys. This is a real deep theological point that, I don't know, it'd probably go right over your heads. I say, ouch. Sometimes it's kind of muffled. Ouch! Right? It kind of looks like that. But if I catch myself slipping like on something like that, I'm pretty hard on myself. What are you doing? Ouch works just fine. Ouch is a very good expletive. It gets the point across. Everybody knows what you mean. It's clear, and it doesn't offend anybody's ears. But I tell you what, if you're walking around, you're kind of bitter about a whole lot of things about life because you're not happy the way your parents are raising you, or life's been treating you, or the Lord's been treating you, your speech will change. And it won't be ouch, you say. It won't be ouch. I tell you another result of bitterness, and it may be bitterness for a week, a couple days, could be bitterness for 20, 30 years. I tell you what, you long for death. Reality is, a lot of people get there. I just wish I could die. I don't like what's going on in life. This is too much, more than I can handle, and I just wish I were dead. I wish I was dead. In Job 3:20, Job says, wherefore is light given to him that is in misery, and life unto the bitter in soul, which long for death, but it cometh not. and dig for it more than for hid treasures. He says, I'm looking for death more than hid treasures. It's real easy to get there. You say, what's going to happen if I let this stuff get to me? This is going to happen. Eventually. It may not happen the first day you're bitter. It may not happen the second day you're bitter. But you keep going long enough, and a lot of these things are going to creep up. A lot of those things are going to creep up. It'll steal your wisdom. I tell you what it'll start doing. It'll start affecting the way you make decisions in life. You stay bitter long enough and you get angry at somebody long enough and you let that thing eat at you, and pretty soon, you know, the chemicals in the brain go berserk. I don't know what happens, but you start thinking differently than the way you used to think. James 3:13 says, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. I tell you what prolonged bitterness will do to you. It'll steal your wisdom. That's where you'll go. You wonder a lot of times why some people just can't seem to make the right decisions in life. They struggle, and to you and I, we look at the situation and it should be obvious what they should do, but they can't seem to make the right decision. Maybe there's something going on there that started affecting the way they're thinking. Right? Another result. It'll consume. Eventually, it'll consume who you are. Bitterness, like I gave you the example of the old lady, you know, in the nursing home, or the old guy in the nursing home. But bitterness will consume who you are. James 3:10 says this. It says, out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not be so. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? You know what he says? James is looking at some people there, and they've gotten off. And he says, Sunday morning you're coming in, you're singing the hymns of praise to the Lord Jesus Christ, and on Tuesday what comes out of your mouth doesn't resemble what came out of it on Sunday morning. And you become, your decisions become affected. You don't think right. Your conversation gets affected, and you don't know who you are anymore. You don't know who you are anymore. Because you're so consumed and eaten up with bitterness that bipolar. You're bipolar. I mean, I know we're all bipolar a little bit, but it becomes increasingly more evident. It becomes increasingly more evident as you go along. The cost of bitterness. Tim Drought wrote this. He said, "We cannot live with bitterness because it will first manifest itself in our spirit, then in our emotions, and finally in our bodies." And finally in our bodies. And it'll wear you out physically. It'll do a number. It'll do a number on you physically. You know, we call it stress. And I understand there can be stress without bitterness, but bitterness is a huge stress factor. And you know what stress does to your body. Well, that's what bitterness does to your body. It'll wear you out. Not good. It's not good. And then finally, I think the last... I got two others. Bitterness will make you unusable. Bitterness will ultimately make you unusable. You know, first of all, your husband or wife will start noticing it. Then your kids, your family. Pretty soon your friends will start noticing how the bitterness is eating you up. And all along they're trying to help you and trying to talk to you and trying to get you on the right track. And you just continue to let it eat at you and eat at you and eat at you because you can't get over it. You can't let it go. And pretty soon, everybody will know. Everybody will know. You know? And if you're struggling with bitterness, listen, it's not a shame to struggle with bitterness. How many of you in here have never struggled with bitterness? How many of you would look poorly at somebody sitting next to you if they were struggling with bitterness and they came to you for help? None of us would. But a lot of times that shame, you know, we're so afraid that we're going to wind up getting unusable, we're afraid to deal with it. And so it keeps growing. And then we become unusable. But bitterness will make you eventually, if you don't do anything about it, if you don't go to the people that love you, care about you, if you don't, you know, go to the Lord, get in that book, go to, you know, eventually you'll become unusable. If nothing else, you'll burn yourself out. And you just won't be able to handle anything anymore. And finally, the last result that I put down is it destroys others. It destroys others. You know, maybe you can hide bitterness for a while from everybody around you. Maybe you can put on a good show. Maybe you're strong enough in your countenance that you can keep it under wraps and you can deal with it and nobody kind of knows what's going on. And you know what? That's a good thing. Because that'll give you time to deal with it. And that's a blessing. You know, you got time to deal with it. But the truth of the matter is, you cannot do that forever. You can't. Your body won't hold up. Your mind won't hold up. It's the devil will just keep piling the pressure on and on and on and on until it's too much for you to bear and something will break. Something will give. And when it does, if you don't deal with it before that, you'll start destroying a whole lot of other people around you. In Hebrews 12:15, the Bible says this. It says, "Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up and trouble you, and thereby many be defiled." Because the truth of the matter is, you can only take so much. This body will only take so much. And none of us are immune to it. Every one of us is going to fall into these things. None of us are immune from the results. We just need to be smart enough from, even if we got a good reason, we recognize what's happening. We see, oops, yep, this bitterness thing is consuming me up. You know, we just need to be smart enough to get the kind of help that we need. No one looks down because you need help. Amen. That's what we're here for one another, right? Amen. I mean, you go to somebody and you know, either the person you're bitter against, or if you may not even know who you're bitter against. You may need to find out. It may be a chore just to find out. But you need to go and get help and seek counsel and get some things straightened out before you start getting every one of those results. All right, and the fourth category, because we don't want to go there. We don't want to have all these results. So how do we fix it? How do we fix it when it starts happening to us? How do we fix it when it's us that is struggling with bitterness? It's always easy to help somebody else struggle with bitterness. You know, I mean, you can see that pretty clearly. But when it's yourself, it's very difficult to see. So how do we struggle, or how do we remedy bitterness? All right, the first thing is this. Learn to be content. Learn to be content. Philippians 4:1 says, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned that whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ Jesus with strength, which strengthens me." 1 Timothy 6:6 says this. It says, "But godliness with contentment is great gain." I tell you, one of the first remedies to battle bitterness is learn to be content. Because you take a look at a lot of these reasons why bitterness creeps up, and you know what? Learning to be content can scratch off a whole bunch of those. It can erase a whole bunch of those. Learning to be content. I'll tell you another reason. These are all learned too, right? Learn to rejoice for others. Learn to rejoice for others. What does that, in essence, what does that mean? Don't be selfish. Get your mind off yourself. Start thinking about other people. Learn to be happy when something good happens to somebody else. Hey, learn to count that as a blessing. Maybe if it's something that even that you have wanted and you've longed for years and years and years, and the Lord just doesn't seem to give it to you, somebody else acquires it. You know what? Hey, be thankful for that. Learn to be joyous or joyful about other people's blessings. That goes a long way towards battling bitterness. Right? It sure knocks that one out. Amen? I tell you what, see that battles right there? Learn to rejoice over other people's successes, even when they're your enemy. That's some high ground. But it'll help you erase that bitterness. Learn to rejoice for others. Another learn too. Learn to forgive. In that, if you remember back in 2 Corinthians, you have that guy that in 1 Corinthians got himself into a bunch of trouble. And in 2 Corinthians, Paul says this. He says, so that contrarywise, you ought rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. Learn to forgive. Even, and that guy in 1 Corinthians, when he messed up, and he messed up pretty big time. Right? He messed up pretty good. You know what? Learn to forgive people, even if they mess up pretty big. What a great show of your Christian character if you can learn to forgive people for big mistakes. Because, you know, one of these days, you're going to be the one making a big mistake. I know it's hard to believe, but it just might be you. Right? And you look around at everybody else in this congregation, you know what? If any one of these people in the congregation were to make a big mistake, I bet you'd be there to forgive them. Well, you know what? They'll forgive you too. Or at least we should. I mean, I understand there comes a time where we may have to say, okay, enough, we need to separate for a little while, unforgiveness will take you down that road, and there's no recovery from that. Just a couple more, and we'll be done here. Learn to walk closer with God. Learn to walk closer with God. Hebrews 12:14 says this. It says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up and trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. I mean, we saw that again. But the context is follow peace with all men and holiness. Learn to walk closer to God. That'll help keep your focus on the right place. It'll help keep your mercy and your grace and your judgment and your separation and all those things in balance and in check so that you take the appropriate measures for the appropriate circumstances and you don't get all out of kilter on that thing. And then finally, finally, the last remedy that I put down here, and I'm sure there are others. Just as I told you, I had 12 pages of notes, so. Learn kindness. And I know I talked about that kind of at the end of the last time I did this. But learn kindness. Ephesians 4:31, 32 says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Kindness will go a long way to overcoming bitterness. Now, big, you know, a lot of lists, a lot of verses, a lot of things going on, but the bottom line is bitterness is definitely a reality. And each and every one of you out there in the congregation are going to have to struggle with it at some point in time. Maybe some only for a week, maybe some for 10, 15, 20 years, but you are going to be faced with it. The devil won't let you get by without being faced with it. All right? How's he going to get to you? By a hard life. Disappointment, battles that you face, discouragement, your own sin, fear, envy, by injury or loss of something that you really care about. And you may very well have a good reason to be bitter. That doesn't matter. All right? Where's it going to lead? Where's it going to lead? If you let it continue and you're unable or unwilling to deal with it, your speech will go downhill eventually. You may be able to hide some of these things at the onset, but eventually it'll get to you. You'll long for death. It'll steal your wisdom from you. It'll consume who you are. It'll make you unusable to the Lord, and it will destroy other people around you. I mean, there's almost no way to avoid that. The results are going to be there if you let bitterness go on. How do you get rid of it? Learn to be content. I know it's tough sometimes. It is. Learn to be content. Learn to rejoice for others. Learn to forgive. Walk closer with God. And learn kindness. And I concluded last time, and I'll just remind you of it this time, and that is, turn your Bibles to Genesis 33:4, and then we're done. Genesis 33:4. In Genesis 33:4, the whole Esau and Jacob thing kind of comes to a little bit of an end here. And in Genesis 33:4, Esau ran to meet him and embraced him. That is, he embraced Jacob and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. And what I said about bitterness is, even though Esau had a good reason, a justifiable reason, and even though Jacob was completely in the wrong, and even though Jacob was, you know, a low-down, dirty, rotten scoundrel, right? I almost said scum-sucking scoundrel. I was diving in Golden Lake the other day, and talk about scum at the bottom of the lake. I had a light, and I couldn't see the light on the end of my hand. It was black. It was just. But Jacob gave Esau a really good reason to be bitter. And in the end, even Esau was able to overcome it. And that should be an encouragement. That should be an encouragement. Esau isn't exactly the greatest of spiritual characters, you know, set forth for a good example in the Bible. But he did overcome bitterness. And you know what? If Esau could overcome that bitterness, you and I can overcome bitterness with the help of the Lord and the Holy Spirit dealing with us and putting good people who care about us and love us around us to help us and giving us a Bible. We can overcome it as well. Let's go ahead and bow for a word of prayer, and we'll be dismissed here. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again, and I know, Lord, that we kind of went over this, in essence, kind of twice, but just couldn't seem to get it off my heart, and I knew that last time I had really skipped kind of the second half of it. I just pray that you would Lord, etch these things in our hearts, help us to realize if we start to get bitter that there is a cure for it. Father, there is ways to overcome it. There's ways to defeat it. Lord, each and every one of us has a tendency to fall into these sins, but you've given us a book, and you've given us some examples and some answers on how to be victorious. And what a blessing it would be if we could put away bitterness, wrath, and malice, and evil speaking, Father, from our lives in this congregation. And I just pray that you'd help us in these areas. Lord, I know that it's a real personal and real deep subject. But, Father, the consequences are pretty serious. And so we just ask for your help and your mercy and love and give us direction. And I just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, guys. We'll be dismissed.